With Montana News, I'm Peyton Butler. The U.S. Bureau of Land Management has filed two citations against the person believed responsible for starting a wildfire north of Helena that burned nearly 8 square miles of forest land. Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton has said that the fire was started on July 26th by someone illegally shooting an exploding target on an informal gun range on BLM land. The citation for causing a fire other than a campfire and for burning timber, trees, or slash and burn outside of a campfire carries a fine of up to $500. Any effort to recuperate firefighting costs would be handled separately. BLM field manager Scott Hayes says they're still trying to tally the cost. Officials in Lewis and Clark County are investigating a homicide after the body of a missing Helena man was found near Canyon Ferry Reservoir. Sheriff Leo Dutton says detectives have identified persons of interest and they do not believe that there is a threat to the community. A family member reported the man missing on Monday. Detectives searching for him found his body yesterday north of the reservoir in the area of Cave Gulch Road. Officials were not releasing the victim's name until family members could be notified. Snow is anticipated across the higher elevations of south-central Montana and northern Wyoming this weekend, which could impact the Beartooth Highway. The National Weather Service has a winter weather advisory in effect from tomorrow morning through Saturday morning in Madison and Gallatin counties, as well as the Absaroka-Beartooth Mountains and Yellowstone National Park for levels above 7,500 feet. Total snow accumulations of 5 to 10 inches are expected, with heavier snow falling on the higher peaks. More than 5,000 climate strikes led by kids are set to take place around the world tomorrow. Students, including some in Montana, plan on skipping school to protest inaction on climate change. Maxine Spire reports.
In Missoula, high school and university students plan to walk out of class to draw attention to what they say is a climate crisis that needs to be addressed.
I think it's incredibly important for students in red states, such as Montana, to be standing up and vocalizing their need for action.
That's Maeve Lang, a junior at Sentinel High School in Missoula. She's one of the organizers behind Missoula Climate Strike. Another Missoula Climate Strike student organizer, Sarah Sriraman, says she's worried some of the student voices are getting drowned out by other activist groups.
And so it might be surprising, but this includes the liberal nonprofit environmental groups and so-called green businesses. And they really seem hell-bent on ignoring our request to stand behind us at this moment and not attempt to profit from what students have built.
Sriraman hopes the Missoula Climate Strike will highlight education about climate change rather than pushing any single agenda. And in that vein, the group has organized a series of talks, films, and discussions that are open to the public next week.
We're not educated enough to make demands of our politicians, of companies, of our school board. So we're taking this week to learn, as alternative education, things that we're not being taught about climate change, about capitalism, about how everything works.
Student protest organizers say education systems aren't doing enough to teach kids about climate change. Both the University of Montana and Missoula County Public Schools have said they'll accommodate students who plan on striking. UM professors can choose to excuse students who want to participate in events. MCPS says students must have parental permission in order to be excused. I'm Maxine Spire, Montana Public Radio.
Electric bicycles are now allowed in Yellowstone, Grand Teton, and Glacier National Parks, along with the National Elk Refuge. Rachel Kramer with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
The National Park Service recently announced a new policy that e-bikes, low-speed electric bicycles with power assistance, will be regulated as traditional bikes on non-motorized federal lands. That means visitors can use them on park roads, paved or hardened trails, areas designated for off-road motor vehicle use, and administrative roads where traditional bikes are allowed. They are not allowed in designated wilderness, in areas managed as wilderness, or on over-snow roads in the winter. Park Service Deputy Director P. Daniel Smith said in a news release that e-bikes make bicycle travel easier and they provide an option for people who want to ride a bicycle but might not otherwise do so. Outdoor and conservation groups have objected to allowing them in parks without additional study or public notice. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
A U.S. government watchdog agency that works for Congress says taxpayers could potentially face hundreds of millions of dollars in cleanup costs from abandoned oil and gas wells on public lands. YPR's Jess Sheldahl has more.
The Government Accountability Office said in a report Wednesday it identified almost 2,300 wells around the country that have not produced oil and gas since 2008 and have not been reclaimed. Frank Rusco is the Director of Natural Resources and Environment Issues at GAO.
Really the only thing that the Department of Interior has to use to plug and reclaim wells is the bond. And if the bond is inadequate, as it almost always is, then ultimately the federal government will have to pick up the cost.
The report says bankruptcies by well operators could cost the government between $46 million and $333 million in potential reclamation liabilities. The wide range reflects the unknown cost of cleaning up sites. Rusco says the bonds were
established 50, 60 years ago. Since then, technology's changed a great deal. Wells have gotten deeper and longer, and the bond rates haven't gone up. They haven't even been adjusted for inflation.
GAO recommended federal officials increase the amount of bonds companies must post before drilling. Current rules allow companies to post bonds of $150,000 to cover their wells nationwide. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl.